Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let's read from verse 25. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitudes pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Amen. Again, we're spending this week talking about passion personified, you know, what it looks like and, you know, the attitude of it and whatnot. And we have this this beautiful picture of this woman, you know, and it says here for 12 years, she basically, she has a menstrual issue, right? She can't stop having her period. That's basically what's happening, you know, for whatever reason, you know, and so she's always bleeding now. You have to understand this, especially in the Jewish context. You know, they felt that because you know blood is a very, very holy, sacred thing. That's why you know most of their sacrifices included some kind of blood. You know, there was always some kind of blood sacrifice. You know, some goat, lamb, you know, dove, and it was a part of their way of living. It was a part of their life, and they felt that blood was precious. Now, living, you know, in 2010, we also know that blood is precious. You know, but they added an element of holiness, you know, of godness to the blood, and so. Because of that kind of importance, whenever blood was displayed amongst people, they considered that to be unclean. And so in the Jewish context, if this woman, you know, you think about this for 12 years, if you were in a public place and you were touched by this woman, you actually, by Jewish law, had the right to kill her. You know, because what would happen, and especially if you're a Levite or, you know, someone that was in charge of performing religious services, you know, when you came across blood, if it touched you, the law was you had to go outside the city walls and you had to stay there for, you know, for a period of time and do lament, basically do repentance. You know, all your clothes had to be burned. You know, it was all part of the sacrifice, you know, and I mean, it was horrible. That's why you remember in the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, the Levite, he actually goes across the street. Right, do you remember? So he sees the man, you know, and he actually moves across because he could not come near blood, you know. And so for the Levite, the issue was actually an issue of his livelihood. If he couldn't perform his religious services, he couldn't provide for his family. You know, he couldn't, you know, and I mean, that's not an excuse, right? But I just tell you the mindset. And so he totally avoids, you know, the injured man because he can't get anywhere near the blood. You know, and so we have this picture here of this woman, and can you imagine being this woman for 12 years? You have no human physical contact at all. You know, you are outcast. You know, they have special places for people like her. You know, 12 years, you don't receive one hug. You know, no one holds your hand, you know, for these 12 years, and she's in a desperate, desperate state. She hears about Jesus. You know, and what she literally does, she risks her life. You know, she hears that Jesus is the healer. She hears that there's something significant about Jesus. You know, there's something about this Jesus that you know, and she says, if I just touch him, you know, and the word actually there is, if I just touch the fringe of his cloak. Matthew 9 will give another description of that. You know, if I just touch the hem, you know, I don't even have to touch him. You know, she basically, like, in our, you know, way, she's saying, if I just touch his shoelaces, you know, and if I just touch something that's so trivial, you know, that Jesus is wearing, and she says, I'll get healed. And so what she does, in the midst of a large crowd, think of, you know, well, we're so used to this in Hong Kong, right? But think of Causeway Bay during Christmas, right? You know, the intersection, Hennessy Road, you know, between Sogo, you know, and the mango stand on the other side, right? You know, think of in that context, and think of this woman gets down on all fours, you know, and crawls in between the crowd at any moment, because she probably touched many people, right? And she, I mean, she literally is risking her life. Because, I mean, this is without trial, you know, women of flow blood, well, dead meat, right? They could stone her to death right on the spot for contaminating, you know, each of the people there. She risks her life, gets down on her hands and knees, crawls to Jesus, touches his cloak, you know, and then notices Jesus' response, right? He stands there and he says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Right? Because he felt power come out of him, right? You know, the dunamis was flowing through him. But he says a very significant, he says, "Touch me." His disciples say, "Jesus, what, are you crazy? You know, I mean, what's wrong with you? There's people pressing in." In other words, a lot of people were touching him. You know what I mean? There were people all over the place that were touching him, but he only felt one person. And he asked the question, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" You know, this is, I mean, obviously we're talking about the power going out, but the way that I read the text, you know, I see, you know, Jesus, you know, as God saying, you know, "I felt this touch before," right? David touched me in this way. You know, the patriarchs touched me in this way, right? There's something about the heart of this woman, right, that touches at the very core of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Who touched me?" You know, friends, this is where we want to get to. You know, when we're worshiping, when we're in devotions with the Lord, you know, when we're spending time with him, when we're walking throughout our day, no matter what we're doing, we want to get to a place where our heart, right, where our attitude is, where Jesus literally says, "Oh, who touched me? Who touched my heart?" You know, and power comes out when we touch God in that way. And so the lady now, she knows, right? And so now she's thinking, "Oh, crap, I'm dead meat," right? Because basically she goes, uh-oh, she recognized what was happening when Jesus asked the question, you know, and I think she was thinking that since Jesus was a very holy man, you know, he must have known that an unholy person, you know, touched him. And she's fearing and trembling, falls at his knees, and basically says, "Have mercy on me," you know, and tells him the whole story. And then Jesus responds to her. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." All right, and you know, he brings ownership. Now, I don't have to go into so much detail, but this passage actually is significant. In verse 34, it's significant that he tells her daughter, because remember, this passage is juxtaposed between the other passages of Jairus and his daughter, right? And Jairus, you know, you have to understand, right? When most times when Jesus, when the authors of the scriptures are writing stories, right, there's usually at some point, you know, I mean, almost every story has some issue of justice to deal with, right? That there's, you know, when the stories are written, you know, it's not only messages of healing or whatnot, but there's always some component of justice. And when you begin to read the scriptures in that way, you know, with that lens, you begin to see it come out even more so. It could be justice in terms of the way women are treated. It could be justice in terms of the way the outcasts are treated. You know, it could be justice in the way that, you know, non-religious people or the sinners or whatnot. And so there's always, Jesus is always bringing reconciliation and redemption in terms of justice issues. And this is an issue where Jairus, you know, he was a synagogue official. He would shun someone like this person. He is very concerned for his daughter, right? And then Jesus turns and says, "Daughter, your faith is..." Remember, Jairus is right there. Jairus asked him to go to his house, and Jesus is about to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, you know, in a moment. But you know, Mark puts this little passage in between, right, inside the meeting with Jairus, and he's basically, you know, basically saying, "Look, Jairus, look, all you officials, you make all these people outcasts, but these are also your brothers and sisters, right? These are also your friends, you know, and in God's view, you know, this is his daughter, right? And so, I mean, that's just kind of an aside for you to read through sometimes, you know. But this key, you know, and we think about passion, and it seems like there seemed to be a theme throughout this week, right? Every single person, they didn't care what other people thought about them, you know. They really it didn't dawn on them other people's opinions. You know, there wasn't a fear of man, you know, residing in their life. They just wanted to honor and worship God, right? We saw that in David, you know, that we looked at on Tuesday. You know, we saw that yesterday, right? And we see this today again, you know, that they just were passionately wanting to touch God, wanting to touch Jesus. And it was that simple word, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. You know, and that's true for today as well. If you can just touch him, you'll be whole. You know, whatever is going on in your life, you know, God will bring, you know, his revelation, his grace, his power to us if we just touch him. You know, and so it begs the question, who gets to touch God? Who gets to touch the Lord? You know, who moves past the physical realm, you know, and enters, you know, in the simple touching of a cloak into this supernatural spiritual realm, you know, where God's heart becomes affected in this way. Who gets to do that? Well, we see this woman, right? Someone who's desperate. Someone that's willing to risk all. You know, someone that's willing to humble themselves. You know, crawl on all fours. You know, and someone who believes that if I just touch him, I'll be made well, right? I mean, it's so simple, you know. And today as a reflection and as a meditation, you know, let's pray on that, right? Let's be people, let's be a church that touches God, right? In the things that we do, you know, in the way that we do those things, which is even more important than what we do, right? I mean, if you haven't figured that out yet, it's the way we do it is so much more important than what we're doing, you know, and especially in God's economy, right? And let's be people that get to touch God. Let's be a church that constantly is touching God's heart. You know, not just because power comes out when we do that, you know, or grace or whatever. It's not so much that, but because God is worthy, right, of that. I mean, he's just so worthy. He's just so good. Amen. So let's close our eyes today. This morning, as we're praying, let's pray that. So let's let our hearts be in such a way that we say, Lord, I want to touch you. To move God. That we take the posture of getting on all fours, crawling. If I could just touch the hem of his cloak, I will be healed. And friends, no matter what you're going through today, here in the sanctuary and our listening audience, if you touch him, no matter what's going on, you'll be whole. But you got to touch him. And it's not just the physical touch. It's the heart. So as Hannah leads us in a song, let's meditate on that this morning. My whole life I place in your hands.
I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you falling on my knees, falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, humble I bow down in your presence at your throne. I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue.
Let's pray this morning for ourselves and our community. Let's pray for a heart of passion before the Lord. Let's pray for humility and for a sense of desperation and a belief. If we touch God, we'll be well. Let's pray for that attitude as a church as well. Right, that everything that we do is with that kind of humility, that kind of grace over our lives. That at moments that we'll risk something to touch God. Well, let's pray. We have a bit of an urgent prayer request. If you are on the SP newsletter, you heard about Chelsea's aunt. And a few days ago, she went into the hospital, and then she went into coma. And now she's, I guess the doctors consider her brain dead. And Chelsea just landed just now in Singapore. And so she's probably at the hospital by now. And pray for a miracle. You know, pray that God would really do something. Apparently, this is Aunt Margaret, and she is her body is rejecting the medicine that they've been giving to her, and her body is getting weaker and weaker just in the last 12 hours. And so this could be the last stand, or God can do something supernatural. We need nothing short than a miracle here. And this is an aunt that Chelsea was very close to, and they actually lived together for a little bit. And so let's pray. Let's pray for mercy. Let's pray for strength and for the whole family. Chelsea's other aunts that live in Canada are trying to make their way to Singapore, but they won't make it until tomorrow. And so let's pray that the family will be reunited, and God will just do something significant through this family. And let's pray for Aunt Margaret. Let's pray for a healing word to come over her. God can do this. Let's ask God to intervene on behalf of this family. And so let's just lift this request up to the Lord right now. Let's also lift up other members of our community that are sick. Let's remember Etta's mother. You know, she has been diagnosed with a fourth stage cancer, and it's not looking good for her. Let's pray for God's mercy in His hand to move over her. Let's continue to pray for James, Kim's sister. Ask the Lord to continue to touch her. She's also is battling cancer. Let's pray for another brother at church whose mom is also has cancer. Let's really ask the Lord that in our church, in the people around us, that really the cancer would just be eliminated. Right? It says that His name is above every name, and cancer is just a name. And let's pray for faith and strength and for the Lord to really intervene on behalf of all these people that are part of our loving community, and let's lift them up before the Lord. Let's pray for our mission teams. Let's pray for our Cambodia team, the orphanage team, and the worship team. The rest of the team arrived safely yesterday. Let's pray that they would be strengthened, even you know, despite the hot weather. Let's pray that all the things they had planned, and the crafts, and the thing that they do with the kids, and the worship program, and all the guys that are teaching classes and instruments, and you know, there will be just a real favor and a real grace over them. Let's continue to pray for Chris and for Hige and for Pastor Nate as they lead their teams. I think one of the teams is actually flying out today to come back, the first orphanage team. So let's just really cover them right now and ask for God's grace and His anointing to flow through them to minister to the people in Cambodia. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our Bhutan team. They should be boarding a flight fairly soon to come back to Hong Kong. And let's pray that they would make their flight and they would have a good trip back, restful trip, as they come back to work and their families and whatnot. And let's pray also that as they debrief and think about all that's gone on during the week, that they would really draw closer to the Lord and that they would be able to be immersed back into Hong Kong life and in a very good way. So let's lift up Pastor Sam Kim and the rest of that team. And lastly, let's pray for our upcoming house church season that's starting in less than a month. Let's pray that the leaders have been refreshed, you know, with the break. Let's pray that people are hungry to come back into community and togetherness. And let's ask the Lord to really carve out special times these weeknights as we would get together in house churches. And the real family and bond will be birthed in these times. And a real excitement and change and transformation will occur through these house churches. Lift up the leaders. If you're part of a house church, pray for your house church. Pray for your leaders. Let's ask God to just do an amazing work of accountability and love and grace and fellowship and koinonia during our times together. Let's lift up this next season to the Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for getting us out of bed, Lord, and into your house, God. Lord, this is, God, the place where we want to dwell, Lord, in your presence. And so we pray, God, that your presence would go with us wherever we go, Father. God, not just merely as an observer, God, but manifest that presence in our lives today, Lord. God, we especially lift up the Ling family, God, and we ask you to touch them, God, and bless them, Lord, and release healing word in that hospital room right now, God. And as a community, God, we're going to stand with them, God, and we're going to fight the good fight, Lord. And so would you just draw us to you, God. Lord, we pray for a heart, God, that Lord, that risks, God, Lord, that gets on all fours, that crawls to you, God, just to get a glimpse, just to get a little touch, Lord. Because we believe, God, that if we touch you, everything will be made well. And so, Lord, just draw us into a community, God, of believers in that way. Watch over us this day, God. We love you so much, Lord. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Please continue to pray. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.